turning to the passage that you can read from behind me, it's behind me, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your finger in Malachi, as there are certainly some parallels to what you and I can read in Hebrews chapter 13. Especially notice the Lord spoke about being a swift witness against certain sins and sinners. And He says, because He's the Lord, that He doesn't change. He doesn't change His opinion. He doesn't lower the standard of His law or change His law. Redefine sin as we find in today's day. People are, for instance, seeking to redefine sodomy as something that God never condemned. We find He's consistent because He does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll commence with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, or let marriage be honorable, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Literally, pornographers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without or outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Whenever I read the last chapter of Hebrews, it seems it's Pauline to me in my thinking. It may not have been one of Paul's letters, but by the way, we do have an ancient document, one of the first bound manuscripts of several of Paul's epistles. And you'd be amused to note that Hebrews is included, and it's right after Romans in this bound edition of the manuscripts. But be that as it may, we'll only know in glory who was used to write this. But our text is verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. This is a text that we read every week, or maybe we miss it because it's there staring us and we just kind of ignore it, or it's just something that is a fixture. I hope that we read it and take it to heart and meditate on it even as we prepare our hearts for the reading and preaching of God's Word. Great text, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Literally, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, is the same and even unto the ages, which is translated forever there. Jesus Christ, yesterday and this day, it's translated often in the New Testament. Give us this day our daily bread. So today, this day, He is the same. And the word translated forever is literally to the ages. And it's translated often forever. But it really has to do with, it's a reference to the end of time as we know it. There's another expression that doubles it where you have the ages of the ages. Now that technically would take us into eternity. This word for forever would take us to eternity, if you will. It takes us to the end of time. And so it is certainly, we have other texts that indicate that Jesus is the same in eternity. But to me, this is also a comfort that He is the same in time right until eternity. And He's certainly the same forever and ever. But I'm thankful that Jesus will never change His mind in time. And He will not change His mind in eternity as far as the salvation of His people. Perhaps if you've read this, you may wonder why it doesn't read Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. I'm blessed by the fact that the writer was certainly moved by the Lord to go beyond tomorrow. It is true that He's the same today or yesterday, today and tomorrow. But how blessed to take us beyond the next day to the very end of time and right into eternity. He is going to be the same tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow for you and me. But He is the same all the way through the generations to the very last person on the earth. So this morning I want us to consider the unchanging Christ that establishes doctrine and practice, that it gives hope to fallen creatures, but it certainly terrifies unrepentant sinners. This text, I do believe, is to be doctrinal in nature. It's instructive. It speaks of the unchangeable Christ. I do believe this is a text that would certainly, at least indirectly, if not directly, speak of His deity. Now, certainly, it's His human name, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Lord here. Now, if we know that those titles give us something a little bit different about our Lord. Lord is a title of deity. Jesus speaks of His humanity. And Christ, as it were, brings those two truths together, that He is divine and human and able, therefore, to be the Messiah, the Christ of His people, the anointed prophet, priest, and king. He could not be so if His humanity was not united to His deity. He could not have made atonement for our sins as a mere man. He had to represent both God and man in order to be the Messiah. So And yet it says Jesus Christ. So it's speaking of his humanity especially, but it's saying that he is the same. So in other words, it's saying Lord without using that title, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who else but God could be the same yesterday and today and forever and even unto the ages? Any other creature was different yesterday. There was a time in Adam we were innocent. We were under probation. But we fell. We changed yesterday. And even today, we're changing. Hopefully for the better, but there are times we are bumped back, aren't we, in our Christian life. We leave our first love, we fall, and we backslide. And we're picked up again, as the proverb says, a righteous one falls 7 times and rises again. And even under the ages, we're going to be changing for the better. The Lord Jesus is unchangeable in nature. It's an incommunicable attribute. We believe that Christ Jesus is referred to in Psalm 102 where it says, Jehovah, thou art the same. You will change the heavens, but you remain the same. You will change sinners, but you will remain the same. And of course, Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. How can you not, if you've read scripture, your mind would have gone back to Malachi 3, at least, wouldn't you, in reading Hebrews chapter 13? Maybe it's not referenced in your Bible, but I think it's a good place to reference Malachi 3:6. That Jesus Christ is certainly intimated to be equal with Jehovah. He is the one who does not change. Therefore, sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus is unchangeable love, unchangeable power, unchangeable wisdom. He was unincarnate God. He was God nonetheless. He was unincarnate God before the virgin birth, before the conception. But now he's incarnate God. He's the same, though. He's God. Obviously, there was a change in the fact that God became man. God added humanity. But he's always been God, whether in unincarnate God or incarnate, he's God. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Great truth to live by and to die by, that Jesus will not change. Jesus remains the same. Yesterday, though, we were fallen. We were unborn. We fell. We sinned. Today, yet we still sin. We fluctuate. Forever into the future, if the Lord tarries, we will sin. I hope none fall away like Judas. We should make our calling and election sure. But we will be made sinless in the future. We will be glorified. But Jesus yesterday, He was everlasting. He was born sinless. He lived a sinless life. He had an atoning death. Today, he's exalted. He's still sinless. He wasn't made sinless like you and I. He wasn't reckoned sinless. Our unrighteousness was reckoned to him, and his righteousness was reckoned to us. He was confirmed sinless in his life, in his death, in his resurrection and ascension. And to the ages he will ever be sinless. Our prophet and priest and king, all the way to eternity. He is teaching us. He is pleading for us. He is ruling over us and protecting us until he gives up the kingdom to the Father, and all shall be in all, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There will not be a shy member of the Trinity, as Augustine mentioned, the Holy Spirit, out in the open, as it were, as the Father and the Son are to us, the Holy Spirit will be in the future. That will be an interesting experience, that all three persons of the Trinity will be seen in clear light to all of us. This is meant to teach us doctrine that Jesus Christ is God. Do you believe that? You must believe it. You cannot disbelieve it and go to heaven. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. You may not know that He is God when you're saved. But as you study it and as you're taught these truths throughout the Scripture, and we've been studying this in Sabbath school, passages that indicate the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the unchangeable one. And this is a text that teaches us that He is God. But it's also, I believe, a text that gives, it's historical in nature. It says that Jesus was, yesterday He was literally Himself. The word same is translated Himself as well in the Scriptures. You could translate Jesus Christ Himself yesterday and today and forever. He is who He is. Just like the Lord said it at the burning bush. I am that I am. I myself. You want to tell them who I am. I was who I was. I am who I am, and I shall be who I shall be. I don't change. I mean, that was a text of the immutability of God, the unchangeableness of God. You tell the people of Israel, the unchangeable one, the eternal one, has sent you. There is no other. If the first thought is the unchangeableness of Christ, this is a thought that takes us to the exchanging Christ. Someone preached a sermon. I don't remember if it was Billy Sunday or it was. You can't forget it. The Christ is the unchanging Christ, the exchanging Christ, and the all-changing Christ. That's a great three-point thought. Anywhere you're out open, you're in a funeral service. The unchanging, the exchanging, and the all-changing Christ. It says that yesterday He was the same. But look at the context, for instance. Verse 11 takes us back, in a sense, to verse 12, to yesterday. Verses 13 and following take us to today. And in a sense, there's a couple of verses that take us to tomorrow and to forever. And what it's saying is that yesterday, Jesus came and He suffered. Verse 12, that Jesus suffered outside the camp. Jesus is the same yesterday in the sense that He's a real historical character. That Jesus Christ is not a mythical character that came on the scene and just evaporated. The Lord Jesus Christ is a historical character, a real person, a real Messiah, a real sacrifice. It's not like the Old Testament. You have the pre-incarnate manifestations of Jesus Christ. Those were seeming. They weren't real incarnations in the sense that they were temporary. They weren't permanent. But this says that yesterday that Jesus Christ came to be the real incarnate, the permanent incarnation of God. The Lord was preparing His people that God could take flesh. He appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Joshua. He appeared to Moriah. Moriah? Who in the book of Judges? Not Moriah. I think that's the Mormon angel. Who was it? Who was Samson's father? Manoah, thank you. He appeared to Manoah. He appeared, we believe, to the three Hebrews in the burning book or the burning furnace. He is a real person. To think that the Lord Jesus Christ lived on this planet. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The Son of God walked on this planet. Not in North America. The Mormons say that He was in North America. The Bible indicates nothing of that. Now that we have DNA, the North American Indians do not have Jewish DNA. It's all a lie. He was in the Middle East as we know it. But it wasn't that long ago. We can probably name someone from every millennium, can't we? I mean, when you think about it, you just take us back a little bit and then it's right there where Jesus, here we are in the 2000s. Billy Sunday lived in the 1900s and C.H. Spurgeon the century before that, and Jonathan Edwards and John Owen and Martin Luther, and you get right down John Huss and right down to Augustine, right down to Clement, right down to the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple thousand years ago, he was here. On time. In time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. This is real. This is not imaginary. This is not mythological. This is not fiction. You know, the world treats Christianity as just a fictitious people who need the crutch of religion. You need to grow up. They see this world is continuing on and we need to make this world better rather than we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Here we have no continuing city, but there we do. And it's all because the Lord Jesus came here. Peter and I were talking about this the other day. Just to think, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus in his face. We're going to see his eyes. We're going to touch him as they did. Yesterday he was here. Yesterday his feet touched this wicked world. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. You see, the Bible says if we believe now that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we're not of God. And every spirit that makes this a mythological thing, a fictitious thing, is not of God. Christmas is not just a good story to tell in a holiday season. It is the gospel. It is gospel truth. Thirdly, it's motivational, this truth. It's exhorting. He's the unchanging Christ. Jesus not only was, he is. He's today, this day, the same. And that's really the main context of Hebrews 3. Jesus is the same. Therefore, let brotherly love continue. His love doesn't alter. He exhorts us. The whole, you ever wonder what is verse 8 doing there? It's the hinge to exhort us to brotherly love. It's the hinge to help us to hate sin evermore. This context is, look, whoremongers and adulterers will be judged. Let the world redefine sin. Christ is the same. God is the same. His law doesn't change. They're going to face an unchanging Christ. He's not going to alter. He's not going to redefine sin. Remember those that are in bonds. Jesus does. Jesus visited his people in bonds. Jesus released Peter from his bonds. Jesus was with Paul in his bonds. Jesus was bound. It's just right for us to remember people who don't have the freedoms that we have today. Wouldn't you want churches praying for you if you were in a cold cell this morning? Wondering, is there any friend out there? Does anybody remember me? Is there anyone praying? If you and I were missionaries that left these easy shores, or if we were a prisoner who was released and we slipped in unawares to a prayer meeting of people that we knew that helped us and we knew had prayed for us and never gave it a thought as to our ministry or our whereabouts or our disposition or our position as believer. You've heard of the missionary that slipped in and was forgotten by God's people. The context here is Jesus is the same. Therefore, in our church life, let love as brothers, love strangers, love the imprisoned. In our family lives, keep the marriage covenant. sin is the same because Jesus is the same. God is the same. Verse 5, be content. Jesus is the same. He'll take care of you. Be submissive, verse 7. You know, people would have thought that the person writing this must have been hired by the leaders of the church to remind the people to be submissive to leadership. Do you notice that several times in this chapter, the Lord reminds us, or the writer is saying, remember the leaders. Submit to the leaders. Salute the leaders. Obviously, there's underlying current here that leadership is being violated, that God's servants are being maligned. And they were certainly the ones that were in the front lines being taken, being arrested. But Jesus is the same. Therefore, we submit to one another in the fear of God. Orthodoxy doesn't change, verse 9. If Jesus is the same, why are we carried about with strange doctrines? The unchangeableness of God establishes orthodoxy. Jesus is not God today and a mere man tomorrow. Salvation is not by grace today and by works tomorrow. You can't have salvation by grace and by works. You can't, those truths are contradictory. And yet in Christendom today, it's both are being preached. No, Jesus is the same. So avoid heterodoxy, heresy. Verse 10, Jesus is the same. Salvation is by the way of the cross, by way of the altar. Jesus is the same. The cross is our only and our every hope, verse 13. Jesus is the way. Worship God through Him, the same. Worship God through Him, verse 15. Jesus is the same, verse 16. Therefore, do good to one another. Don't become bitter if you're not recognized for your philanthropy. Continue doing good. The Lord Jesus still sees you. And He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name in ministering to the saints. Jesus is the same. It's motivational for us not to become bitter, but to serve the Lord all the more because He sees us. Oh, how we alter, but Jesus is the same. This motivates me to love, to service, to hate of sin. And again, these sins that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13, there was a sampling of those given in Malachi chapter 3, if you remember. It's threatening. This truth is threatening to unrepentant sinners, to those who would redefine sin. He says, I will come near to you in judgment, to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers, those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, those that turn aside the stranger. All those are found in Hebrews 13. You can see that the writer of Hebrews has Malachi in mind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's threatening to the unrepentant sinner. But it's exhortive. To us, it's motivational to God's people to be holy and not to be jealous and envious of the wicked. Sometimes you and I wonder, will the wicked be punished? Will the righteous be vindicated? We, like the psalmist, we think that as we look out in the world, is there a God that's still in the heavens? Has God changed? Has Christ been dethroned? And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. God is the same. That's why it's so important for God's people to meet on a regular basis. I'm so thankful that the Sabbath is once every 7 days instead of 14 or 30 or 50. We need to be recharged and reminded of the faithfulness and the unchangeableness of God. And the wickedness of sin, and that it will not go unpunished. And this truth is hopeful. And He's the all-changing Christ. It says He's the same forever unto the age, unto the ages. Jesus has saved us today, will be saved in 2020. Just like R.C. Sproul said, you know, if you think you were saved yesterday and you're not saved today, you are never saved at all if you're not saved today. Salvation is through His blood. He never changes. He keeps us to the end. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. 2050 comes, 3,000. He still will save by grace. And unto the ages, verse 14 takes us into eternity. We look for an enduring city. Here we don't have one, but we have one there. There's a place in the glory land. There's a real heaven, a real place where your soul and my soul will go if we die today and Jesus tarries. There are a few bodies in heaven, we're told, that give a sampling of the resurrection. We assume that if we died today to be absent from the bodies and be present with the Lord, we would see the body of Jesus. We would see the body of Enoch. We would see the body of Elijah. We would see the bodies of those that arose after Christ arose. The Lord gave Enoch and Elijah as precursors of the rapture. Did He not? Well, if Jesus comes while we're alive, His saints will be taken up. But Jesus, who died and rose again, He's the precursor of those who die in Christ and will be raised at that great resurrection day. So it's one thing to see Enoch and Elijah when I go in, if I go into heaven today. They represent those who are alive when Christ comes, but I'll be able to see Jesus and know that my bodiless soul is not complete yet. That my body shall rise again. To stand over those coffins and to see that open grave. And to be able to say, this saint will rise again. This body will rise again. What a comfort that is. But what a terrible thing. Most of the funerals that I've had to stand at grave sites of those who may not have any hope. That I could not say, this person knew Christ. It's a terrible thing to have to say, this body will rise again. And not to be able to bring comfort and closure. This body will rise at the resurrection of the just. Inside of God's people. Such a blessing to be able to say over Lorraine's body the other day, she shall rise again. At the resurrection, but now she's with Jesus. So long, Lorraine. We praise God with you, or we praise God for you. One day we will praise God with you again. Oh, the hope of the Christian is immense because of the all-changing Christ. He doesn't change us for time only. Our salvation, if it was for time only, as Paul said, we'd be miserable. But it's for eternity. This God is our God forever, Psalm 49:14. He will be our guide even literally over death, beyond death. Oh, that my grandchildren would have this hope. What a blessing to be able to say, my children know the Lord. But to know this Savior is the same tomorrow. He's the same unto the ages. Maybe I'll get to see, hopefully I'll get to see grandchildren sooner than later. I don't know if I'll ever see as late as my children are going. I don't know if the day will come for great-grandchildren. I'd like to be able to put my hand on the shoulder of a great-grandchild, but I can't wait for the grandchild, Lord willing. But to think that because Christ is the same tomorrow and forever, that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the Lord said, to 1,000 generations. But we have to be so careful now ourselves how we end. You see why it's important not just to begin well, Yes, it's important to begin well. Are you born again? And it's important to continue well, but it's important to end well. Why? Not only because of the assurance of going to heaven and going to heaven joyfully, but because the generations, our descendants are watching us. And it tells us because godly people did not warn their children and grandchildren after Joshua's day that they turned away. We need to continue to remind our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Jesus Christ is the same. Therefore, you've got to be saved. You've got to live for the Lord. You can't let up. You can't let the world in. You've got to love Him and not the world. We can't presume and He's just going to save on and on and on without the means of the Word and without preaching Christ. God uses means to an end. Faith comes by hearing, and it's got to be heard by us consistently. We've got to be holy, brother and sister, holy parents, holy grandparents, holy siblings. And what will warn us, keep us, is this truth of the unchangeableness of Christ, the covenant loyalty of God. Verse, remember in James 1, there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Isn't it a great text? And it's because of that unchangeableness that the next verse says, He chose to give us birth because He was unchangeable. If God was changeable, He'd have changed His mind because we were so wicked. But because of His covenant in Christ with us, He chose to save us, to give us new birth. Because of His unchangeableness, that I'm saved today. And finally, it's a comforting verse to believers, but it's a fearful text to the lost that He is the same forever. Verse 17, for instance. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Notice the unprofitable. I mean, that takes us into eternity. Not just now. The leaders are going to, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Were you faithful as a father? Did you teach your children the Word of God? As Ephesians says, did you nurture and cherish your wife with the Word of God? Did you have the Bible open? Or were we workaholics? Were we worldly? Brother and sister, you can take the souls of your family with you and the growth of your family, but you can't take money with you. You can't take possessions. Be in the Word. Be in the Word personally. Be in the Word with your family. You can't afford to be unfaithful with the Word. And what he's saying here is facilitate leadership by submission. As the leaders should facilitate submission by kind leadership. Jesus Christ is the same. So facilitate their leadership. Because they're going to give account to Him. And you're going to give account to Him how you submitted to the leadership that you were entrusted with. So in verse 7, he says, remember them. Verse 17, obey them. Verse 24, greet them. Those are all aspects of godly submission to facilitate those who are going to give account to the Lord for the souls under their care. But this is saying Jesus is going to be the same right to the last day. And the Bible says that not only a graduation day will we give account, but there's a judgment day beyond that, a reckoning day. That Jesus is going to be the judge at the last day. God hasn't changed His mind. Acts 17 says that God made it very clear who He's going to use to judge the world when He raised Him from the dead. And Jesus will be the last one to stand and the last one that stands or sits, wins. He's the unchanging, the ex-changing, and the all-changing Christ. And this is a threatening truth to those who reject His leadership, who say, I will not have this man rule over me. The day is going to come where they will be ruled over by this one. Pilate will see Jesus at the judgment day. The Pharisees and Sadducees will see Jesus Christ of Nazareth at judgment day. Will He be your Savior or will He be your judge? Trust in the unchanging Christ. Trust in the one who is unchanging, who exchanged. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He's the one who can change you. He's the all-changing Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Let this truth sink down into our souls. Let us meditate on it. Let it do our souls good. Let us continue to worship the Savior who's unchanging.